Hi guys, how you guys doing? Sorry, forget the joke. That was a horrible joke. How you guys doing? You guys cool? Are you sure? How sure? Like on a scale of like 1 to 100, how sure? Did somebody say 6? Why 6, bruh? I said 1 to 100, but okay. Anyway, that's cool. So, we've been doing the Armor series. How you guys have been finding it? It's been cool. It's been all right. Yeah. I'm getting a lot of nyes today. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Today is going to be awesome. So last week, we talked about the Helmet of Salvation. How many of you were here for it? I was here for it. Seems like a lot of us. Which is crazy because like the roads were blocked and everything. But like that's good. This week though, we're going to be talking about the Sword of the Spirit. And usually, this is the part where we read the memory verse. But today, I kind of just felt like, I don't know, testing your guys' memory skills. So we're gonna be having a fun little exercise. Basically, I want you guys to try and remember the whole of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 to 17. That's basically what we've done so far, right? And then I'm going to go around, right? So the whole group has to remember this. And I'm going to go around to a random table, and I'm going to pick a random person, and I'm going to choose a random verse within that little passage of scripture that you must recite perfectly. And I'm going to do this like several times. Does that sound easy? Perfect. Then it's going to be fun. Exactly. That's exactly the point. So if you got your Bibles with you, or if you got like a cell phone or whatever, you can use that. Otherwise, the thing is going to be there. So and that kind of thing. And then, yeah, I'm just going to give you guys like 5 minutes, right? Are you guys ready for the challenge? Why? Don't worry. It's going to be fun. It's going to be cool. This is not an exam, but if it was. Think of it as like an open book test. It's literally an open book test. You cannot fail. It's impossible. All right, cool. And go. So the Sword of the Spirit, half a mark, 50%. So chapter 6, verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So well done for having Sword of the Spirit there. Good job. Okay-ish. So, here's how this is going to work. I'm going to just put my finger on a random table, but it's going to be the opposite table. Just to spice things up. So, okay, so then it's Tabila's. Amber. Could you please recite for us Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12.
It's something about standing your ground. Can someone help me with the first part? Therefore, put on the whole armor of God and stand your ground, or something like that.
Okay. Cool. So let me recite it for you guys. It wasn't that you were close. So it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And then 13 comes and says, therefore put on full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and not you have done everything to stand. So give a round of applause for knowing the things she's supposed to do, just not for what it's supposed to be for, but the things she's supposed to do. Okay, so Ish. Yeah, guys, save the worst for last. Just joking. So, I am definitely not going to be picking the person with a pen and a book in front of them. So you gentlemen are the... This guy is a cross. He must be holy. He must know the word. The word of God. Come on, son of God. All right. My mans, yo, dude, we basically only have one more verse left, really, 16. So, like, everything else has been said. You gotta come through.
Oh. Is it the one where I think you have to be fitted with the readiness of the truth of the shoes or something.
Why are you whispering the answer? Okay, well, no, it is not. I'm so sorry, bro. I even want to say you were close, you know, just to like, but actually, 16 says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. But give him a round of applause for trying, you know, dude, I respect you because some people didn't would not even try. Like, they wouldn't even try. So daps, bro, daps. So the point of this exercise was to not make you feel horrible because you don't know your Bibles, because then we would all be feeling horrible. But it was to sort of iterate that knowing the Word of God and knowing where the little things are in the Bible is great, right? But today we're going to be talking about, obviously, the sword of the Spirit. And I wanted you guys to understand that this memory verse is so important. Important to the fact where just knowing what it says almost is more important than knowing the exact location of where it says it. And I'm going to be showing you this more in the Word of God, showing you that knowing the Word of God is bigger than just remembering little things, but it's having it in your heart. And there's a difference between memorizing something and having it in your heart. So, first of all, what is the sword? So far, we've been reading this passage. I don't know if you guys noticed, but Paul is writing a letter to the Ephesians and Ephesus, obviously, and he's using very metaphorical language because we haven't been giving you guys helmets or breastplates, unless I missed stuff, but we haven't been giving you guys pieces of armor or weaponry, right? No, we haven't been doing that. And he wasn't trying to equip people either. So he's being very metaphorical here. He's taking things and comparing them to something else. And he does this with the sword. But what is the sword? What is he trying to say? So as we all know, it tells us that the sword of the Spirit is also the Word of God in verse 17. And that's sort of the first point, that the sword and the word are kind of like, they're like cousins, you know, or twins, really, in this particular instance. And there's a particular passage I want to read, actually. So Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. If you have time, please, I encourage you to go and read that. Go and investigate that and see, really pick it apart. I am going to go through the story, but I'm not going to go through it like 0 to 100. So just when you're on your own time, read it if you haven't. But for those of you who don't know about the story, I'm just going to reiterate that now. But before we do that, I just want to take a quick moment to pray and to ask God to come in our midst and to bless us with his word. So please close your eyes and bow your heads. Father God, thank you so much that you are here in our midst, that you are speaking to us and speaking through us, Lord God. And I just pray that as we engage in your word and we engage in your truth, Lord God, that you will remove me out of the equation, that there would be none of me, none of my words, none of my wisdom, none of my genius, Lord God, but all the glory would go to you, Father, as we delve into what it means to know the word and to know the sword of the Spirit. In the mighty name we pray, amen. I'm going to use a soccer analogy. I'm sorry if you don't follow soccer, but you're going to, and that it sounds like it's a lot of people, but I'm just going to, you'll catch along quick. So in soccer, I think particularly in the UK, there's this analogy called park the bus. How many of you are familiar with that? Park the bus. Okay, cool. Got a few people. So what parking the bus is essentially in a game, when a team wants to defend, they all come and they block the opposition from scoring a goal, like they're defending. It's a very defense-centric strategy. They're trying to make sure that nobody scores, right? But usually, you only do this when you have a lead in the game. So when you scored, or when you have the result that you desire, you usually only do it after you have what you want, and you want to protect it. But at the end of the day, the game isn't won by how many goals you save. it's won by how many goals you score, right? That's how the game works. If you win the game, it's because you won by 1-0 or 2-0, not because you didn't. The keeper saved 10,000 saves. You can save 10,000 times, but if this team scored once, they lose. It's pretty much how it works. And so the sword, or its role in this narrative, in battle or anything, the sword was the thing that you used to end your opponent, right? So far, everything we've talked about up until now has been a protective element. A helmet, a breastplate, a shield, shoes so your feet don't look ratchet afterwards, and all these other things. But the sword does more for attacking than it does for protection. And it is literally the only weapon Paul describes in this fashion that can do this so far, right? So what does this mean? Why is what I'm saying important? Well, let me give you a bit of context for Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. So at this point in the game, you know, Jesus just came through, got baptized by John, and now he's feeling like, you know, my spirits would be like way up because God literally came through. It's like, yo, guys, this is my son whom I love, everything like that. So at this point, he's gotten a pat on the back from daddy and everything is great. And so I'm thinking at this point in the story, he's going to go out, going to heal people, going to cast out demons, going to teach, you know, whatever, whatever. What's the first thing that happens after this? What does it say? It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The same Spirit, by the way, that was blessing Jesus and declared him a son of God, whom which God is well pleased, leads him into the wilderness to be tempted. Crazy, right? When you think about it, it's a bit wild. And what then happens in the story? So Jesus goes into the wilderness and he gets tempted by the devil three times. And in each time, he turns Super Saiyan and he blasts him away with a Kamehameha wave, and that's how the story ends. No? It's not what happened? No? Okay, fine. He hits him with a head with a brick, and that's the end of the day. Yeah, that's what happens. No? It's not what happened? No? No, it's not. Amber says no. Yeah, she's definitely official on this one. Okay, fine. Maybe, now I'm just guessing, honestly. Like, he cuts him with a sword. No, that's not what happens. No. Well, okay, fine. I mean, the thing is, it has to be one of those things, right? It has to be something spectacular. I mean, this is a, let me tell you a story. Elijah was getting teased by a little boy. What does Elijah do to this little boy? He sends a bear after the little boy. A whole bear, a giant bear, right? This is a God who can literally split seas apart, who when he spoke, the worlds started to form, who can talk by being a burning bush, all this crazy stuff. Surely, when you're getting not just teased by a little boy, but when you're getting tempted by the devil, which is the greatest enemy you can face, I'm pulling out my atomic bomb, right? I'm like going all the way, you know what I'm saying? Like, or something, I don't know. Or like, I'm doing the absolute most against my enemy because he's the greatest enemy I can possibly face at this moment. So that brings the question, why did Jesus quote scripture? Maybe it's because the word actually, amongst all of the things that God can do, amongst all of the things that God has done, the word of God is the strongest weapon that Jesus had in that moment when he's being tempted by the devil. It's like the strongest weapon. Logically, that has to be the answer. There's literally nothing else. And you wouldn't be wrong by saying he wanted to use the word as to set an example for people, which is fine. But why did he use that particular example? You know, because according to the word of God, we can do crazy things too through faith. We talked about faith 2 weeks ago, right? We can do amazing things, moving mountains and all that crazy stuff, right? How about just dropping a mountain on the devil's head? That would have been dope. That's like a dope superpower. I mean, really, we can do amazing things. And yet Jesus chooses to quote the word. The angels that he could have called, the legions of armies he could have called, only came after the temptation to help him with his wounds and with his hunger. And it's like, and the reason why I'm laboring on this point is because I want you guys to understand, when we were doing this exercise of the memory verse game, here's another interesting thing about the word. Jesus is not saying, in Leviticus 10 verse 11, it says, he wasn't doing that. He just said the word. He knew the word, and he recited it, right? Many times, you will feel judged or you'll feel disowned by certain people because you don't know the particular verse and where it is in the Bible. But Jesus didn't even, at that time, there weren't even little numbers next to the thing in the Bible that they had then. That wasn't even a thing. He just quoted the word of God that he knew and he was studying all his life. And that was enough. And so the reason why I'm laboring on this point is so you guys can get that the sword is the word. It is the word of God. It is the most powerful weapon. It's your everything. It's your go-to for when you're going through stuff. It's, I don't know what else to say. Like, that's it. If it was enough for Jesus, it should definitely be enough for us. Because that's literally all we're going to get. And so, the reason you should then be reading and remembering scriptures isn't so that, you know, when there's a test, you know which scripture to go to. He wasn't quoting scripture because, you know, this is the appropriate. I mean, yes, there are appropriate scriptures for specific situations. But that came out of him in that moment because that was what came out of him. It was a part of him. It was who he is. It says in John, the first chapter of John, that the Word was with God and the Word was God. You know? These are deep things, intricate things that happen when we look into the Word and we make the Word a part of who we are. So the second thing I wanted to talk about is the fact that the Spirit is life. Now, we kind of covered the sword part of it, of the analogy, but Paul, in this particular passage of writing, describes the sword as a spirit. So the sword of the Spirit is basically saying, you know, how you got shoes of, you know, the fruits of the gospel, or you got the breastplate of righteousness. He's now calling the sword a sword of the Spirit, which I found weird. Because I'm thinking, if the sword of the Spirit is just the word of God, why not just call it the sword of the Bible? Right? Like, that would have been easier. Or the sword of the word, or something like that. But he calls it the sword of the Spirit, and I didn't understand why. Then I read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." Deep. Okay, if you missed that, let me rewind for you. So basically, in this particular passage, Paul is saying, guys, this word is a living thing. This Bible is a living thing. Like, it's real. It's like an animate thing. Like, you can read this word and you can call things into being that are real. And it's not only real and it's not only alive because you can quote scriptures and things can manifest. It's also real because when you read the Bible, it actually speaks to you on such a deep level, it'll cut you at your innermost being, which is insane. When we think about what the Spirit means, the Spirit, it's always seen as something that's synonymous with an essence of life, your thing that allows you to live. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, that is a passage where God is breathing the breath of life into Adam, and we see that the root word of Spirit is Spiritus, which is Latin, which means breath. So. In all of these different things, the Spirit is continually described as this essence of life. It's the fundamental thing. And the what is he's saying here is that this thing can even cut you right there to the point where it's just you. It's just your spirit. And it can speak to you at such a deep a level that that's why it's so easy for Jesus in that moment to just recite a passage of scripture when he's being tempted. Because he's not going to his mind or his memory logs. He's going to his heart, to his soul, to his spirit, to collect these things. When you you know, there are certain things that require memory. I need to remember that 2 + 2 = 4, -1, that's 3, quick maths. I need to remember that. By the way, that wasn't maths, that was a lyric, just saying. I need to go to my mind for that. What I don't need to go to my mind for is how to walk or how to breathe or how to greet somebody or how to like speak the language I'm speaking in right now. I don't need to go to my mind for that. That's already a part of me. It's already a part of how I operate, how I do things. If I was doing anything any differently, these things any differently, I wouldn't be the same person. That is literally how deep those things are. And what this passage of scripture is saying is that the word of God convicts you to the very thing that you are, the very essence of your being, to the point where if you know this word and you know it well, you don't need to remember it. It's a part of you, you know? It's who you are. And it's so deep in who you are that, you know what? You might not be, you probably won't say this is exactly where it is. You might be able to see what book it is, what chapter it is. You might not be able to quote the exact verse. But you will know it so well that when the enemy comes, he can't do anything. He can't test you. And so this is really the crux of the word of God and of the sword of the spirit, is that it is the word of God that divides you to your spirit and your soul so that you know it well enough that when the time comes, you don't need to remember it. It is you. You can recite it because it's a part of who you are. So with that being said, I want you to guys to take not too long, just a few minutes, answering these questions. First question being, how do you think the word can impact your life practically right now? Don't give a Christianese answer like, oh, it can make me more spiritual. No. Like, what is it in your life right now that's happening right now, good or bad, that the word can impact maybe in your behavior, maybe in the way you're relating to people? What do you believe is the best way to get to know the word? Is it through, you know, reading it constantly? Is it through verse of the day thing on the app? Is it through your connect groups where you guys look at Bible verses and scriptures and passages? What is it? And what do you love most about the word of God? What is the one thing that keeps you coming back, if anything? And what is the one thing that you would want to share with people? You got a few minutes for that. Go ahead. Cool.
So sorry. I do realize.
Yeah, cool. What funny thing about God, he's very, you know, he's a very weird, crazy guy. And he's the only, you know, if he had his own movie, he's the only character canonically that wins a battle by telling his enemies how he's going to win. Think about it. No, seriously, think about it. You know how I've been talking about how Jesus uses the word in Matthew chapter 4, right? He didn't start using it then. He didn't start using it when he was learning in school. Jesus' entire life was a script. His entire life was the word of God. If you read Isaiah, it proves it to you. God literally foretold the enemy, this is what I'm going to do, this is how I'm going to do it, and this is how I'm going to win and set my people free, and that is exactly what happened. So you can say anything about the power of God and all of the magical things that happened and him dying on the cross and the miracles. All these things were great, but all of those things only happened because God said, this is how it's going to go down. God's word is the ultimate weapon. And that's really the gist of this message. And if you can take anything away, take that away. So yeah, guys, I hope you guys really walk away. I hope this changes reading the Bible for you. I hope it changes knowing the word of God for your life. And with that said, we're just going to pray. Father God, thank you so much that your word, Lord, is so powerful that it can defeat anything and everything, no matter what the challenge, what the obstacle, and that by us just knowing it, that us just having it in our hearts, we are already set for life. We pray that you will help us to continue to do that and help us to continue to engage with your word, Lord God, and that it would lay a strong foundation so that we may have the best offense against what the enemy has for us. We pray in your mighty name. Amen.